The theme for this month in the main church is actually literally called Monday Christianity. And that doesn't make very much sense in English, I guess. I guess a better translation, a translation that makes more sense, would be everyday follower of Christ. And we've been talking about the Christian life is not only lived on Sundays, as we know. Sundays are only just about 14% of your life. So the most part, this is really deep revelation, isn't it? Most part of your life is not Sundays. Really deep stuff, this, isn't it? Are you taking notes? I'm just kidding. Now, last Sunday in the main service, in morning service, we read from Luke chapter 7, where Jesus for once is visiting the home of a Pharisee. It's quite interesting, actually, to see that Jesus rarely had anything to do with religious people. Are you with me now? Jesus was a lot more interested in normal people, in average people, in sinners. One of the most beautiful names of Christ given in the Bible is he was the friend of sinners. And you won't find, you can study all your life and you will never find a passage in the New Testament telling that Jesus was a friend of the Pharisees. He was a friend of sinners. I'm quite happy about that because that means he is my friend. Amen. Anyway, Jesus visited this home of the Pharisee Simon. And it was, I guess, a dinner party. And suddenly this woman shows up. And we don't know very much about her. But the Bible says she was a sinful woman. And that's a polite way to tell what kind of woman that was. And Simon the Pharisee doesn't like this at all. Having this woman in his home, and she is weeping at the feet of Jesus, washing his feet with her tears. And she wipes them dry with her hair. And then she opens a bottle of really expensive perfume and pours it out all over his feet. And Simon thinks to himself, now if this Jesus really were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that is. So Jesus turns first to that woman, and then he asks Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see her? And that's a quite strange question, isn't it? She was in his home, and he wasn't blind. And he knew what kind of woman, I guess maybe he knew who she was. He definitely knew what she was. Of course he saw her. Of course he did. But yet Jesus asked that question, Simon, do you see her? And I believe that Jesus really meant was this. Simon, are you able to see behind and beyond the obvious? Are you able to see behind and beyond the things that obviously have gone wrong in her life? Can you see beyond what everyone else can see? Can you see her heart? Can you see her brokenness? Can you see beyond the obvious? And I said last Sunday, also this, that an everyday follower of Christ realize that we are here for others. Life is not about you. It's about others. It means to see people beyond and behind the obvious, to see the needs. No, you don't have to change yet. You can see, when I touch this, you touch that. It is to see the needs of people and fill the needs. Amen? Jesus said the kingdom of God is where? Inside you. And that means wherever we go, wherever you go, wherever we are, no matter the circumstances, wherever we go, there is also the kingdom of God. Amen. Right now we're in Sweden, we are under Swedish law. Amazing. And we have to act according to Swedish law. Right. And we can take a car, we can go over the bridge and we'll be in Denmark. I will still be Swedish and you will still be whatever you are. But we will be in Denmark. And in Denmark, believe it or not, they have laws as well. Danish laws. A very strange ones. But still, they have them. Not superior to the Swedish law. Absolutely not. I agree with you. Amen. Come on, brother. But the kingdom of God, the nation we really belong to, is different. It's really, really, really different. Because that nation we carry with us wherever we go. Amen. And that means that the power, listen to this, that means that the power of the kingdom of God is with us wherever we go. Isn't that wonderful? That means that the fruit of the kingdom of God can be present wherever we go. Where, at your workplace, in school, in your family, wherever you go, the fruits of the kingdom of God can be present if you allow it to be. So that was a little bit about what we have been dealing with in the main church, in the main service. I want to go a little deeper today and talk about what is Christian life really about? What does it mean to you and me to lead a Christian life? I touched that. Do you see? What? Come on. One of the things that Jesus says many times, quite often in the New Testament, is two words, follow me. You can find it at least 24 times in the Gospels. Follow me. And I've been thinking, what would happen if each one of us really accepted that challenge fully? When Jesus tells you and me, follow me. What would happen in Lund? What would happen in Sweden? What would happen in any country if the Christians, the believers, really took that challenge and ran with it? Follow me. And what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And it's not about follow him on Twitter. He means to literally follow him. And I believe we all agree that it is a very good idea to follow Christ. Are you with me on that? Because Jesus is life and he gives joy and he helps us. And he gives vindication. He is love. He is your second chance. He is even your third chance and your fourth chance and your fifth chance. And as many chances as you ever need. And the best and most important decision we can ever make in life is to follow him. But what does it mean? And Pastor Torben will explain that to you right now. If we gave Jesus himself 30 minutes today to explain to us what it really means to follow him, what would he say? And the truth is, what he would say would be quite inconvenient. It would be challenging. And it would be somewhat shocking to some of us. Listen to this from Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. He called them. Have you noticed how many times Jesus is trying to escape people? Trying to find 5 minutes alone with his Father in heaven. Trying to find a few minutes, a few hours of rest. You can see it time after time in the Gospels. Jesus is trying to get away from all the people. Because he was tired, because he hadn't had any food. He hadn't had any sleep. He was tired. He really needed some rest. But this time is different. Jesus called them to come. The crowd, the multitude of people, and the disciples. It's like he really, really wanted everyone to get this, to understand. Those who followed him from a distance. Those who were really interested. And also the inner circle of disciples. He wanted all of them, everyone, to get this. He wanted them to know that he came with life. He came with love. He came with vindication. He came to give meaning of life. He came with joy. He came with salvation. But he also wanted them to consider the price, to understand what it means to be a follower. So he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross and follow me. Try to imagine what happens with the crowd and within the crowd when he told them this. Imagine how many would react to a message like that today. Deny yourself. We live in a time when almost everything is about this. What's in it for me? Why can I get out of this? What's in it for me? Can I get something here? But Jesus says to follow me means it's no longer about you. It's all about me. And I guess people wonder, who does he think he is? Does he think he's God himself? Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. He is God, and you are not. Praise God. To follow Jesus. You know how many books there are, Christian books, on self-fulfillment, self-training, self-boosting, how to get somewhere in life, how to build a career in Christ. And you can find so many books on self-development. Christian, so-called Christian books on self-development, self-fulfillment. How to get slim with him. And but listen to this. To follow Jesus is not self-fulfillment. Jesus is not your mental coach with some kind of spiritual flavor to it. Jesus is not your homeboy. He is not your buddy. He is not your personal trainer. He is not your life coach. He is God.
Amen.
Come on. There. The Bible says he holds the universe in his hand. It says he is upholding all things by the word of his power. It says he is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. It says he has the keys to death and hell. It says his eyes are like blazing fire. It says his voice is like the sounds of rushing water. It says his face is like the sun shining in all its brilliance. He is God.
Amen.
And the Bible says that one day, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
In heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. This world tries to make us believe that everything revolves around us. That we are the center of the universe. Let me tell you a secret. We are not. This world wants you to believe that you are the most important thing ever created. You are not. Well, in one way you are. Because we are all precious in His eyes. But it's not about us. It's about Him. To use an ungodly way of speaking, to follow Jesus is to go all in. And no one understands that. I'm happy that you don't look like you understand what I mean. What is that? That's a term from Las Vegas. That's poker. To follow Jesus is to go all in, to give all for Him. To not only sing, I surrender all, but to do it. Come on. What Jesus does in this scripture passage, this text, is contrary to all ideas about a selling message. I've been working in the advertising business. I know what it takes to create a selling message. This is not one of them. I'm telling you, this is not one of them. It's contrary to all marketing ideas. It's contrary to all ideas about personal branding. It's rough. It's unvarnished. It's relentlessly honest. To follow me is not about you. It's all about me. It is about my will. It is my agenda. It is my goals. It is my plans. And the question is, why does He want us to lay down to lose our lives? Why? Because He wants to give us His life. And He is totally committed to give what He has promised. In John 10 and 10, it says like this, I have come that they, you and me, we, they, may have life and have it to the full. And have it to the full. I love that. To have it to the full. Life in abundance, overflowing, or as one translation says, to have it more abundantly. Whatever that means. More abundantly. That's a lot of abundance, isn't it? But you know, if His life, what He gives, is mixed with our plans, our ideas, our convenience, well, then we cannot have His life in abundance, life to the full. Because His life and our plans doesn't blend very well. Are you with me now? So He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross and follow me. He asks for everything. I've been a pastor for some 30 years now. And I've been working. Listen to this. I've been working all my life. And I've worked hard to create a church that clearly communicates a God who does not only love you, but a God who actually likes you. And that's a difference, isn't it? Sometimes we talk about God's love as something very religious. He loves you, but He likes you as well. Amen? And I've been working hard in my ministry, in the churches I have served, to to clearly communicate a message of a God who has a plan for your life. A God full of grace, love, forgiveness, vindication, healing, hope, power, courage, an including God. A God who wants to pull people, draw people into His presence. And I'm sure this will continue to be the message of this church and my ministry for as long as I live. But the foundation of that message is this. Life to its full, abundant life, is the fruit. Listen to this. It's the fruit of a total surrender. I surrender all. So Jesus says, take up your cross. There's a problem with that illustration, isn't there? We have no idea what it means. We don't understand what it means. We haven't seen anyone in real life being crucified, have we? I haven't. I hope you haven't. But back then when Jesus said this, it was totally culturally relevant because everyone knew. Everyone had seen people carrying their cross along the streets of Jerusalem, out to that hill outside the city. Are you with me now? Yeah. They had seen it. All knew what he was talking about. Because that was a quite common way of killing people. They knew. They knew that to take up one's cross means death. And in this case, it means death to our egos. Last Sunday I carried this the whole sermon, so let's try. Good one, isn't it? You know, there's something about this cross. You know what? It's quite inconvenient. And a little bit embarrassing. Once I preached this message and I pulled up a cross, stood in a corner of the church, and I found out this was really heavy. But I carried it, the whole sermon. It was inconvenient. It's quite embarrassing. You know, there are so many times in life that we wish we could hide the cross, isn't there? I remember when I was young, my parents went to church, quite boring church in the city of Malmö. They have boring churches in Malmö, not in Lund, but in Malmö. They have boring churches. They had one. It's better now. But back then it was boring. I wasn't very interested. My friends in school found out that I came from a Christian family. That we went to church. So they asked me, are you a Christian? And I said, nah. My parents are Christians. I'm not. And I even swore and used bad language and tried to smoke and all that, just to show I'm not one of them Christian idiots. I'm cool. But even as an adult, there are times actually when I wish I could hide the cross because it's quite embarrassing. People are talking rubbish and you want to say something, but you shut up because it's embarrassing. People are talking bad stuff about one of the colleagues at work, and you know you should say something against that, but it's easier to shut up, isn't it? We see people being treated unfairly quite often. we know we should speak up. The Bible tells us to speak up for those who have no voice. It's easier to shut up. It's quite inconvenient, this cross. We wish we could hide it. But we can't. Because it's there. Now this cross affects everything. If you carry it around, it's there all the time. And it should affect everything in our life. It should affect how you as a man treat your wife. It should affect how you as a woman treat your husband. It should. It should. It's quiet in here. It should. It should affect how you are as a father and mother. How you treat your kids, what you give them, how much respect you pay them. It should. It should affect how you do your business. Should affect how you handle your money. It should. It should affect how you do your job. It should affect how and what you study. It should affect how you as a young person or a kid, how you treat your parents. It should. It should. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
A poor kid, one kid in the room. Everyone looks at him. That's not good. It should affect how you treat young people trying to enjoy the service. Amen. Are you with me now? Good one. The cross makes you very different. Amen. It makes you different because you can't hide it. Your friends will see it. You know, sometimes we are trying really, really hard as Christians to blend into society. We try to make people believe that we are normal. Right? And the most stupid things we say. Sometimes we say, there is no difference. It's just that we have Christ. But apart from Christ, we are just like you. Have you ever heard that? We're trying to convince people that there is no difference. We are just like you. But if you are just like me, why would I believe in your Christ? I have enough with my own private personal hell. I don't need yours as well. Are you with me now? It's so stupid. Because we are not like everyone else. There is a huge difference. It's not like, well, we are just like you, but we have Jesus. That's all the difference in the world. To have Jesus means life. To not have the Son means you haven't life.
Amen.
To have Jesus means that you have walked away from darkness, from sin, from hell, from bondage, to a life in freedom.
Amen.
The Bible says in Old Testament, and I love that scripture, He brought us out. But it doesn't stop there. He brought us out to bring us in. He brought us out of Egypt. He brought us out of darkness. Why? To bring us in. To His kingdom of light and glory and salvation and vindication and whatever you want. Amen?
Amen.
The cross makes you different. Your friends will see it. Your family, your relatives will see it. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend will notice it. Your colleagues at work will see it. You are different. You have something I don't have. What is that? Oh, there's no difference. We're just like you. Shut up. Stupid. What is it you have? I have a cross. It went through my heart, through my soul, through my body, through my entire being. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. I died with Him, but I also raised with Him. And I live with Him. Amen. That is what I have. That is what I have. Amen. The cross is personal, individual. It was when people were killed on crosses, it was one person per cross. It's your personal cross. It's yours. When you were a child, hopefully your mother, father said an evening prayer with you. They read the children's Bible. They told you stories from the Bible. At least my parents did. And somehow they took the responsibility for your spiritual life, for your spiritual growth. And then you grew up a little bit. You became a teenager. And maybe there was a youth pastor who gave you all them pep talks. And he prayed or she prayed for you, took care of you, helped you along the way. You grew even a little bit older. And you had a cell group leader in church or a pastor who helped you, took care of you, guided you. Then you're a member of a great church. And as I said, last Sunday morning service, and you have the best pastor in the world. And I meant Pastor Torben, of course. But you know, even if you're a member of the greatest church on earth, and you have the absolutely most brilliant pastor, it's not enough. That's not enough. Because you will, sooner or later, reach a point in life when it's only you and your cross. It's only you and Jesus. You will reach a point in life when you have to start following Christ. It's your personal cross. It's a death to your personal ego. And it's very quiet in here. And I love it. Last point, the cross is permanent. It's forever. Amen?
Amen.
Not in heaven, but as long as we are here. So forever in that sense. And as I said, the crowd Jesus talked to in the scripture, they had seen it. Many, many times, again and again, people are dragging or carrying their cross up to that hill outside the city. And you know what? They never came back. They never returned. One did, Christ Himself. But apart from Him, no one ever came back. There is no turning back. When we take up our cross, there is no turning back. If you choose to pick up your cross, it is forever. And I think most of us know the song. We've sang it together. The song of Sadhu Sundar Singh. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And then it goes, no turning back, no turning back. But quite often we make and base our decisions on emotions. what feels good right here and now. Especially us charismatics, we want it to feel good. And if it feels good, we can do it. So many times as charismatics, we wait for that emotion, that feeling. Are you with me now? That feeling, all right, yeah, I can sense. Ooh. And we begin to glow in the dark. No. And sometimes we, as charismatics, turns charismaniacs. But that's another sermon. It's easy for us to make decisions about following Christ when we are somewhat touched, when it feels good. We get the charismatic goosebumps all over our body. Ooh, wonderful. I can sense. Ooh. But you know what? Jesus says, I want your life. I want your whole life. All of it. As a child, as a teenager, as a young adult, as married with children, when you're getting old as me and you become a grandparent, when you get really old, Jesus says, I want it all. From the cradle to the grave, I want it all. Not only your emotions, not only when it feels good, I want it all. To deny yourself, to take up your cross, may seem like a very, very high price. It's inconvenient. It affects everything. It should. It makes you different. It is highly personal. And it is permanent. It is forever. But the truth is, it will totally change your life. When we give up ourselves, He can give what He offers. Life as it was meant to be. Life to its full. Abundant life. Life with a meaning and a purpose. Life that makes a difference. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow me. Amen.